Well, now it's time to welcome back Margaret Mills for her monthly book review. And a very different book this month, Margaret. As yes. Last month, it was all sort of spooky stuff. And this time, it's all about a ship. So tell me more.
Yeah, this is a ship called the Erebus. Mm-hmm. We're going back now to 1845, when the Erebus that had actually been, wasn't a new ship, it was built in 1826. And it was one of the two ships commanded by Sir John Franklin that went sailing off to find the Northwest Passage and came to grief in northern Canada, got trapped in the ice, and nobody found out what had happened to the crew. In fact, there were two ships because the Erebus wasn't alone. Another ship called the Terror went with her, and both ships were lost. And the Terror was discovered in 2016, and the Erebus itself was discovered packed in ice in 2014.
Now, I'm a little bit confused. I don't think we mentioned this is a book by Michael Palin.
This is a book by Michael Palin, that's
but
right.
I'm confused. Is this a historical book? Are we talking fiction here?
Right. The book is basically in two parts. Mm-hmm. The first part talks about the planning and the equipping of the ship, so you really have to transport yourself back to the 1840s for the first part. And Michael Palin, he's done an incredible amount of research for this book, looking up naval records, and it tells you about how they went about preparing for the voyage. They took 3 years' worth of canned foods with them because they just didn't know whether they'd be able to get food supplies. And obviously the ship had to be manned. I mean, there was something like 124 sailors on board. They had to decide who the captain was going to be because the Royal Navy considered a number of candidates who might, in view of what happened, probably thought afterwards that they were very fortunate in not being picked.
They did have, presumably, had two captains.
Yes, they did. That's right. They did. But it really, Sir John Franklin was the main figure and was apparently a very surprising choice because he didn't have too illustrious a track record. But they had to make all these decisions. There's the planning, the equipping. I mean, it's amazing the detail he's gone into. Because when the Royal Navy decided when the ship was going to go and who was going, a company in London who were responsible for canning the food had to produce 8,000 cans of meat within about 2 months. Now, this is the 1840s we're talking. So this is the first half of the book, the planning, the equipping and the voyage.
And is the dialogue in the book then? Made up dialogue? Yes.
He will use letters and documents to sort of put words in the mouths of the sailors and the captain. The second part of the book is really Palin deciding what he believes happened and what's happened since. So the investigation, there were searches made, of course, from Britain to try and find, when no word was received from them for 1, 2, 3 years, people began to think, well, you know, this is not looking good. And search parties were sent out, but they hadn't managed to find them. In the end, it was actually the indigenous population of this very inhospitable region, the Inuit, who pointed the rescuers towards, well, we think it could be there, or we think it could be 2 miles ahead. And they began to find artifacts from the ship preserved in the snow. Things like tins, canned food, from which they were able to ascertain that the lead that was used to solder the cans was faulty.
Oh,
and
really?
Most of the sailors would, and this is all conjecture, because although they have found some bodies, one in particular, one of the sailors, John Torrington, almost perfectly preserved in the ice.
Mm.
I mean, it's quite eerie looking at this picture of him when his coffin was exhumed.
Mm.
He just really looks like he's sleeping.
Is that in the book as well?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And as far as they can ascertain from post-mortem results, mm-hmm. forensic tests, many of them died not from pneumonia and exposure and lack of proper clothing for the climate, mm-hmm. or starvation or mm-hmm. other ailments. Most of them actually had huge quantities of lead in their system, so lead poisoning.
So this order for all of the canned goods that was sort of rushed through,
yeah.
it may well be that there was the rushing
yes.
through of that
exactly.
caused the problem.
Exactly.
I'm surprised that they would even be able to take enough food on a ship like that.
Well, we say ships like that. I think we all, and I know I do, have an idea of this frail, fragile mm. little wooden ship.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, well, of course it's going to come to grief.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing of it. But actually, I think Palin does a pretty good job in the book for somebody. I mean, I'm not at all technically minded. I know nothing about maritime, not a lot about maritime matters and the building of sailing ships.
Mm.
But he does a good job of getting across that these ships were quite substantial. For example, they had a heating system on board the ship.
They need that.
Well, absolutely. But yeah. who would have thought it? Would never yes. have entered my head. They actually took for the ship's library over 1,000 books on
Incredible.
Board the ship. So they obviously had storage room somewhere
yes.
on this ship, because somewhere you've got to fit in 125, 24 sailors.
Well, I was going to ask you, remind me how many people were on there?
Plus a ship surgeon, a captain,
yes.
a carpenter,
yes.
and so on. You know, the more skilled trades.
Mm, mm. So what did you make of the book? Did you enjoy it?
I really did enjoy it. Mm. Some of the criticisms of the book are that, you know, I mean, somebody says, oh, Tuesday, sailors swabbed the decks.
Yes.
Wednesday, sailors were bored, so they swabbed the decks again. Now, you know, to me, I want to hear details of everyday life on board the ship.
Right.
Because to me, that is interesting. And to say, you know, Tuesday I swabbed the decks, Wednesday I swabbed the decks, that is a bit of an exaggeration. The person is obviously trying to convey that they were bored stiff
mm.
reading these accounts of daily life on board a ship. I wasn't. I found it really interesting.
I saw one criticism that said it turned into very much a textbook, but you don't think it did?
No, I wouldn't say that. I found it very interesting at giving you a good insight in just how well equipped these ships were, and also about everyday life on board a ship.
Mm-hmm.
It also gives you some insight into the actual system in the Royal Navy. How did these naval captains get their commissions? Was there a lot of competition? Was there a lot of backbiting and infighting? The answer is yes.
I mean, you mentioned that the captain himself had got a slightly checkered career.
Oh, yeah.
In what connection is that?
Well, he'd gone on another ship that was a ship detailed to go on these voyages of exploration mm-hmm. in a similar way as Darwin went mm-hmm. on the Beagle
mm-hmm.
in the 1830s. And he'd made such a hash of commanding the ship that the ship ran out of food. And he and presumably other members of the crew were reduced to boiling their own boots
Good
and
grief.
Eating them
yes.
to stay alive.
Yeah, be shoe pastry. Sorry.
That is so bad.
I know.
I think I have to just ignore it.
I think you should.
But yeah, this, I mean, I thought, yes, when I read this, I thought, oh, somebody's having a joke here.
Yeah.
But apparently he had previous, as they say, for not being a particularly capable captain.
Well, clearly he made good this time to make sure that there was food, even if it was poison.
Well, they've never found, ironically, they've never found Franklin's grave.
No.
It's believed it's in a part of northern Canada called, I mean, I'm hazy about the geography, yeah, but it's called Beachy Island.
Right.
And they believe that it is somewhere on that island. And I think they're going to utilise modern day equipment to try and seek it out. But so far, they haven't found it. They found some of the men from the ship, the rank and file. I mean, for example, I mentioned John Torrington,
yes,
who's perfectly, almost perfectly preserved body was exhumed. He was a stoker. They know that from the ship's records, what luckily were back in London.
Mm.
So they've been able to consult the records to put, and you know, this sounds flippant, but you'll know what I mean, flesh on the bones of the sailors who were on board.
What about the captain of Terror? Do we know who that was?
Yes, it was a man called Ross.
Right, and how did, how was it that he effectively was the second captain to?
Well, this is what I'm hazy about. Mm. The Terror and the Erebus, I believe, were sort of equal ranking ships in the Royal Navy. So whether it was a lottery as to who got what, or whether there was some informed decision, I must say I couldn't really follow Michael Palin's line of reasoning on that. He talks about Franklin and he mentions, you know, that he wasn't necessarily first choice. But then you think, well, what were the internal mechanics of the Royal Navy board, if that's the right name for them, the Admiralty, whatever, who made the decision? How did they weigh up, presumably look at their past records, and then you think, well, anyone looking at Franklin's last record? But then you wonder, you know, there may have been other reasons. Maybe those other captains were earmarked for something else. I don't know.
So, would you recommend the book?
I would recommend it for anyone who's interested in historical investigations, and particularly on the forensic side. Also, anyone who's interested in knowing what life was like on board a Royal Navy vessel in the 19th century.
Okay, well, just to confirm, the book is Erebus, The Story of a Ship, by Michael Palin. It's published by Cornerstone at £20. And you can order a copy for about £17.20 at Guardian Bookshop. And you can also call a number, 0330-333-6846. And I'll put all the details up online a little bit later on.
I have a feeling there's going to be a TV programme.
Oh, really?
This is not, I'm pulling this off the top of my head, but I'm thinking Michael Palin, railway journeys, it's got to be. So I wouldn't be too surprised if in the not too distant future we see a TV programme.
Have you decided on what your choice for next month might be?
I have decided.
And?
I've decided on a book called Motherwell, as in the name of the place, by a lady called Deborah Orr. That's O-R-R.
Deborah Orr?
Yes, sadly she's no longer with us. She died a short time ago.
And that's about?
That's about her childhood growing up in Motherwell.
Okay, fair enough.
And her attempts to move from Motherwell to do other things and to broaden her life.
Okay, we shall look forward to that. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks very much. Thanks, Scott.